Okay, we are picking up for the Mishnah. We are four lines from the top of Mem Tesamud Aleph. We're quoting the part of the Mishnah on Vizman Shein Lachim, when the straw is going to be moist, it's going to be usher to insulate them. However, when they were evasion, when they were dry, the Mishnah said that it was going to be mutter to insulate with them. So Gemara once has a question about this. Ibailahu. So they asked the question, Lachin Machmas Atman, when the Mishnah said that these substances in the Mishnah, they are allowed to be used for insulation, that is only is it usher when they're moist on their own account, meaning that they're moist on the fact that it's natural moisture, or Odilma Lachin Machmas Davar Asr. Or you could say that it was according to Rashi that it also, when the Rambam has different gears with this whole thing, but according to Rashi, that maybe over here means that it's also when they're moist because of an external factor, and even if the natural factor of moisture is gone, it'd still be usher from the external factors. And where it says, now Tashma, we bring a proof from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Lo betavid lo zagun lo mochun lo saman lo zman shin lachin, not with straw, or the grape skins, or the soft material, or the grasses, when they are moist. So the Gemara says now, when these soft materials, now if you understand that when we said over here that something is moist only because of external factors, it's also going to be usher, then we understand how the Mishnah could tell you that these soft materials are going to be usher when they are moist, because they're getting, obviously the moisture is coming from something else. If you assume that there's moist on their own, when it comes to these mochin, these soft material that's used over here, it's not something that gets moist on its own. So then it must be that what comes out is that when something is not is moist from an external factor, it's also going to be usher. So the Gemara answer is no. You could deflect this opinion, this answer, by saying that we're mishkachas lo b'matru divnei amte, that you can find it in a situation when you have this wool that's like plucked between the thighs of an animal. So if the wool was spun and the cloth was woven while the wool was still moist, then it would be that situation. So therefore, you don't have a proof whether or not materials listed in the Mishnah are going to be usher only when they're naturally moist, or even when they're moist in another source. The Gemara doesn't leave this question resolved. The Gemara leaves this unsolved. So continues the Gemara now. So we're quoting the Mishnah now. Tomnin b'ksus u'b'peros. A person is allowed to insulate with clothing and with produce. Rashi says with like wheat or beans, things like that. Okay? You're allowed to do that. Also with dove feathers, with the carpets or sawdust, or with this fine flax combings. These are different things that you're allowed to use them. Rabbi Yehuda oser bedaka mati regasa. Rabbi Yehuda prohibits insulating with these like fine ones. However, he would allow you to insulate them with coarse ones. The Gemara is going to analyze the shita in a few minutes. But the Gemara, once we were discussing using kanfayona, dove feathers, so the Gemara goes a little bit on a tangent. The Gemara says a discussion about something that had a reference to kanfayona. The Gemara says, "Amar b'yanai tefillin utzirchin gufnaki kilisha bal knafayim." That tefillin, someone who's wearing tefillin has to have a clean body, like Elisha, who was called bal knafayim, literally the one with wings. So why is it going to be called that? Gemara is going to say right now. Gemara says, "Mai, what was the story, and what's a clean body, and what's the story over here?" So the Gemara says, "Abaye shalei afiach bein." Abaye says you're not allowed to pass gas when you're wearing your tefillin. Rava mar shalo yishan, but Rava says you should not sleep with them, which Rashi says because you're going to fall asleep. And what happens when you fall asleep? You're going to pass gas, or maybe have some sort of seminal mission, which would be a big problem with tefillin. So the Gemara now says, "Va'mai kar le bal knafayim." So why was Elisha called the one with wings? Why did they call him this? So the Gemara says, because it was the times when the Romans were constantly persecuting the Jews. They said, anyone who's wearing tefillin, we're going to smash his brain open. Obviously meaning we're going to kill it. And Elisha wasn't afraid of this gzera. He would wear them, and he went into the marketplace, and he completely didn't listen to them. So there was a castor, that's the name of an officer, there apparently that comes from the Latin word. There's a word in Latin is castor. That means the Roman official, okay? So it comes over there. And Elisha ran away from this officer, and the guy was chasing him. As soon as the officer caught up to him, Elisha took the tefillin off, and he held it in his hand. So then the officer, "What is in your hand?" Amrlo kanfayona. He says, "They're dove wings." And what happened? Pashas is yadav nimso kanfayona. All of a sudden, he opened his hands, and what do you see? They were dove's wings. Lefika korna solution. After that story, they called him Elisha baknafayim, Elisha, the one with wings. And the Gemara says now, "Maishna kanfayona mishar ofos." So why did Dafka the miracle? He turned into a dove and not any other bird. So because we should ismal knesses Yona, because Klal Yisrael, we are compared to a dove. Shenemar kanfei Yona nepach bekesef. The pasuk says, like the wings of the dove, you're covered with silver, and that's referring to Klal Yisrael. So therefore, maginos aleha, avisal mitzvos maginos aleha. So just as a dove, what protects a dove is the wings from the cold, Rashi says, and other things like that. So that, and also it uses its wings rather than other animals that use its beak to fend off its prey, things that are attacking it. So therefore, Josutu Klal Yisrael, our commandments, our mitzvos, are protecting us. So Agav, so a few points from this story. One is, where do we see that he had a guf naki? So Tosu says, if a great miracle happened to him, it must be that he was so careful and zayir in the mitzvot tefillin, that that's why this great miracle happened to him. That's why he was called, that he had guf naki. And that's where we learn that a person needs to have a clean body when he wears his tefillin like Elisha. That was the first point of the story. The Magen Avraham points out from here that some of the minug, he quotes the Matan Moshe, I think it is, and he quotes over there, and he says that some of the minug to, when you're wrapping your tefillin and you're putting it away, to try to wrap it in some sort of a wing shape, to remember this story from Elisha based on this Gemara over here. Okay? And just Tosfos asks a question. The Tosfos says, but wait a second. If we're talking about Shas HaShma, the time where there's persecution, religious persecution against Klal Yisrael for keeping mitzvos, so then a person would have a chiyuv to do Yarek Vayavar. So why did he take off his tefillin and not just die Al Kiddush Hashem? So Tosfos says, because maybe over here, that's only when the Gemara says that you, even a mitzvah kala, that when it's a Shas HaShma, even a mitzvah kala, that was something, that was because it looks like you're doing something like, they're making you do something like a non-Jew. That was the point of it. To look like a goy who's violating of doing Avodah Zarah, when you, even the Gemara says about tying the way tie your shoes, apparently that's the way non-Jews do it. So dafka, they're making you like a non-Jew. Here, person's not wearing tefillin, those people all the time don't wear tefillin all day. So therefore, it's not necessarily going to be an Isser. But the Ran furthers that question, but the Ran says if that's the case, then he didn't have a heter to endanger himself to do a mitzvah. If it wasn't a Shas HaShma to do it, so then why did he have the right to do it? Only for Lavin, says the Ran suggests. Maybe only for doing an Avera, a person is Yarek Vayavar. What do we see for doing mitzvah? So the Ran again gives an answer. I don't know what Lach Lamaisa, I didn't have a chance to look up the Shulchan Aruch, but Lamaisa, the Ran says that when it's a Shas HaShma, even for a mitzvah, a person has the right to do a mitzvah, even though he'll be killed, I'll pay that mitzvah. He brings a Raya from Daniel with davening, and he says that that would be the case. A person is allowed to be to commit to do a mitzvah in order to save himself, to potentially kill himself for doing a mitzvah, to be moser nefesh al mitzvah. And he says it's the right thing to do, and he says it's a nice, encouraged, if a person would do that. Okay, I'm not sure if everyone agrees. Another Rambam, another context says that you always have to do that, but not sure. I didn't have a chance to see the farish over here. That was just another point, and just one last halacha that comes out of here. Is that the story tells us that a person has to have a guf naki when he davens. In fact, not only that he has to have a clean body, that is the only reason we have a chiyuv to wear tefillin all day. It's a mitzvah that it's done all day. So why don't we wear tefillin all day? The Rama says, not because people think it's machshava is one of the reasons, but the main reason the Rama brings down, this isn't the reason, I don't think the Rama brings down the machshava reason that we don't have the pure thoughts, but the main reason that we don't do it is because of guf naki, that we do not have a clean body, and therefore, since we do not have a clean body, we are not able to wear tefillin all day, and therefore we just wear it for shacharis, and that's it. I'm not going to get into all the analysis of that, but Rav Nan says al cheshbon that he says when a person has a chiyuv to have a guf naki, to a chiyuv to have a clean body, then Ramela he would have a chiyuv to wear his tefillin also. So therefore, Rav Nan Sal paskins that it's a chiyuv to wear tefillin for mincha as well because of that. Because a person has a chiyuv during davening to have a clean body. So therefore, mincha time, you have a chiyuv to have a clean body anyway. So mela, you have to chiyuv. There's reasons to reject that, meaning the vast majority of Klal Yisrael has not accepted that psak. But, it's important to note that this is where, the sheet has come from, this idea of gufnaki, and this is why the reason that we don't wear tefillin all day. Okay, continuing the Mishnah says, b'nesorah shel charashim, with carpenter's sawdust, that a person he is allowed to do that. Rabbi Yehuda, however, said it's utzer to insulate with that, except with the fine ones, but with the coarse ones he was makil. So the Gemara analyzes Rabbi Yehuda by lo. Rabbi Yehuda, Nesar Shal Charashinkai or Nesar Shal Pishnikai. Which case did Rabbi Yehuda make the difference between whether it was fine or coarse? Was he referring to the carpenter's sawdust or the second case of the flax combing? So Gemara says, Tashma, we bring a raya from the Braisa, the son of the Braisa tells us, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Neor Shal Pishnan Daka Rayan Kizel. Rabbi Yehuda says that fine flax combings are like manure, meaning what? That they add heat to it, like food would be when it's used to insulate. Shmamina neor shel pishtan kai. We see that Rabbi Yehuda is referring to flax coming. Shana, that is a good proof. So Rabbi Yehuda was making this chiluk, was making it with regards to the neor shel pishtan, to the flax comings, and that was the chiluk between coarse and between fine. All right, continuing in the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Tomnim b'shlichet metal tenoisim, that someone is allowed to insulate with these type of animal hides on Erev Shabbos and Friday, and then you're allowed to move them on Shabbos. Rashi points out, because even they're not used for insulating, they're allowed to be moved, because sometimes a person can decide to use it for a rug, which you don't know what to recline with or use it. So then, since they have some sort of useful purpose on Shabbos, they're not going to be considered muksa. So you're allowed to also insulate with wool shearings, but you're not allowed to move them. Why? Because these are generally, Rashi points out, they're generally made into a thread. And since they're made into a thread, they're going to be muksa, meaning that you don't want to use them for this heter purpose on Shabbos. Ketzer to osa, so what should one do if one insulated a pot with wool shearings? How can he get access to the pot without touching it? So no tatakisa even no flos. He is allowed to remove the lid and then they fall, meaning by lifting the lid he's going to do it to slide off by itself, in which case that would be mutter. Okay, Rashi just points out, why isn't this a problem of basas l'davar aser? We learn basas l'davar aser that you have the, over here you have the lid, and on top of it, you have these shearings, which are on top of it. Why is it created? So the answer, Rashi says, is because the lid's function is only to cover the pot. It's not meant to support it, and therefore it's not meant to support it. It's not becoming a busless davar ha'aser. Now the Gemara, the Mishnah continues with Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah Omer. Here, Rabbi Lazar says that if Omer kupam mata altida v'notel. Rabbi Lazar says that if a person decided to place the pot on the basket filled with the fleece over here, then he could lean, he leans the basket on its side so that the fleece will fall on its side, and then Vinotel, then he's going to take the pot. However, otherwise, Shema Yitol Ve'in Le'yachal Achzer, because otherwise there's going to be a concern that if the wool collapses, and what's going to happen? He lifts the pot from the basket, and he's not going to be able to replace the pot. And then it's going to be usher to move the wool from the pot, since the wool is mukta, so therefore he holds that would be the problematic. Chacham say that it's not a problem to move it back. The Gemara is going to discuss, not this stuff, but the Gemara is going to discuss later on the machlokas between Lazar and the Chacham. So says the Gemara now, Yosef Rabbi Yochanan Nachnai Rabbi Yochanan ben Lazar. They were both discussing together. V'yazdiv Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama Gabayir. Rabbi Chanina was with them. When they had this following conversation with Gabayir and Bailo, they had a question about the following. Shlichu Shal Bala Bayis Knan. Does the Mishnah refer dafka to the hides of a person, not of a person who plans on selling them, meaning a Bala Bayis, a regular guy, or of a Uman Shal Kapi Dilayo Lamadan Lahu, however, a craftsman, he plans on selling them, and then he is makbid about using them, so then maybe, and if they're going to get dirty or using them in every situation, because he plans on selling them, maybe they should be muksa for him. Or maybe you could say that the Mishnah is referring to even of a craftsman. Even if a craftsman is going to be mutter to use it, since there is a heter purpose, even though he might not necessarily plan on doing it, and then obviously it would be, obviously, kavachomer, kol shekein, it would be obvious that a person, a regular balabas, a regular house guy, would be okay. So the Gemara now says, Amar li Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar, mistabar shal ba'abayis tanavel shal uman kapit alayo. So he said, Rabbi Yochanan responded to his friends who were there, he said that it seems to be that only dafka, the one of the balabayis, of the householder, however, the craftsman, it's going to be problematic to move them because they're muktzah, because he's makbid about moving them. So the Gemara says, now, Amar li Rabbi Chanina bar Chama, kach Amar b'shmal v'Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi said, they said, Abba Shalchahava, my father, he was a professional tanner. And he would say, Rashi says, during the week. Meaning, he would say, the Chiddush is bring it during the week, and we can sit on them. So we see that even a craftsman is not makbid about it. So therefore, you should be allowed to be makil, even a craftsman on Shabbos, because we see that during the week they would use it for their own purposes before they sold it. So the Gemara asks a question, though, on the second sheet. The Gemara says, Mesivein, Nisarin Shel Balabayas Metaltan Osan. When it comes to wooden boards of a householder, you're allowed to move them. But Shaluman Emil on, but those of a craftsman are not allowed to move. Ve'im Chishel Atizalain Pasa Orchin, Bein Kacha Bein Kach Metaltan. But if he planned on already Erev Shabbos, he realized that he's going to serve Bertha's guests on them, so then he had designated that whether he's a craftsman or whether he's a regular guy, they're allowed to be moved. But we see before, though, the first part of the Mishnah told, the first part of the Bresa told us that the craftsman's boards are going to be usher. Why they usher? So the Gemara says, no, there's a fundamental difference over here. Shani Nisarim, the Kapit Alayo. It's different than when it comes to the boards. He is Makbid. However, when it came to the previous, when it came to using this thing as a rug, that would not be an issue. So the Gemara says, Tashma, will bring another proof for this from another Braisa. Oros bein avudin bein sheinu avudin muta l'taltu m'shabbos. When you have hides, whether they are tanned or not tanned, they're allowed to be moved on Shabbos. L'omar avudin ela inan tuma bilvad. When the Chachamim said that tan is some sort of factor for regards to touching on Shabbos, that's regards to tuma v'tara. That when it comes to tan hides, they're going to be susceptible to tuma. However, untan hides are not going to be susceptible to tuma, right? Why? So Tosus point out, because they don't have a status of a kli yet. Tosus says that when untan hides don't have a status of kli, and if it doesn't, something is not a kli, it's not going to be metame. So the Gemara now says, though, my lav losh nashal balabayis losh nashal uman. That doesn't that imply that the price is ruling that hides are considered muktzah Sorry, they're not considered mukta, whether or not they are of the household or of a craftsman, because we put them together, we assume that they're not going to be mukta. The Gemara says, no, lo shalabala, the Braisa is only referring to a householder. The Gemara asks, lo shal uman mai. But so you're going to tell me that that of a craftsman is in metaltlin. You're going to tell me that the halacha would be that they don't be moved. So the Gemara is going to ask, whenever, the Gemara always asks this, whenever the Braisa or a Mishnah or a Tanakhic source has a chiluk, has a distinction to make, so the most common thing is to make a distinction with what you're discussing right now and not pick another topic. So the Gemara asked stylistically, it doesn't make sense to go bring in another topic, so the Gemara asked that question over here. So when the Braisa says that they didn't mention that ten being is a factor with regards to Tuma, that's not true, that the Braisa should have taught us Allah in regards to Mukta itself. That the fact that the Braisa should say that distinction refers to Mukta. That when is this ruling said that there's no difference between moving a tanned and untanned hide? That is when regards to whether Bishal Balabais, if it's a householder's one, of Shulum and Lom. But if it's the hides of a craftsman, you're not allowed to move it. So meaning there is a chiluk minei bay with regards to tanning, with regards to mukta. So then why doesn't the Braisa discuss that? Why do you pick, tell me about Tuma Vitara, which is not a chiluk that doesn't apply to mukta? You have a beferish case in mukta itself. So the answer is kula balas kamarit. The entire Braisa is dealing solely with the householder, so therefore the only distinction the Braisa could talk about was Tuma, because it wasn't discussing anything to do with the craftsman, and therefore we don't have to chiluk between this chiluk from Mukta. So the Gemara says, this in fact, this machlokas amoraim is a machlokas ketanaim, is a machlokas tanaim, for the tanaim say, urosh al-balabayis metaltanosam. When it comes to the hides of a householder, one Braisa says you're allowed to move them, and the craftsman you're not allowed to move them. However, Rabbi Yossi says, both of them are allowed to move. So Rabbi Yossi is the one who says you're allowed to move both. That's like that other Mora we saw before. And the one that says you're not, that makes it, says you're allowed to move only of the balabayas, of the householder, that would be like the first Amora that we saw. So this is really Machlokes Tanaim. So now the Gemara, just Agav, mentioning that Rabbi Yonasan ben Achnai and all these his friends were discussing a topic. So the Gemara mentions Agav, a different topic over here. The Gemara says, Hadur Yasir Kamabai, they have the following question. Hadassan, the Mishnah tells us, we're going to see this Mishnah later on. The Mishnah tells us that there are 39 malachas. Avos malachas abrayim chaserasar. There's 40 minus one. Keneged me, why do we have 39 malachas on Shabbos? So the Gemara now suggests two answers. Amar Rabbi Chanina bar Chama keneged avodas haMishkan. They corresponded the works of the Mishkan. Anything that used to do, there's 39 activities that they used to do. 39 malachas, different acts were not necessary for the building of the Mishkan. And the fact that they put the Mishkan, the Torah tells you, Dafka, keep my Shabbos. Right when they talk about building a Mishkan, we learn that all the malachas of the Mishkan are going to be usher. So the Gemara now says, Amar Lahu Rabbi Yonasan Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Lazar Lazar, Kachamar Rishim ben Rabbi Yossi ben Kunya, Kenegan Malacha 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 Shabbatorah Abraham Chasar Acha. They correspond to all the time that the Torah refers to the words work. Working, doing something, work off the Torah, that's going to be 39 times. The Rishonim were all bothered by it, they all have different terutzim, but it says it many more times than 39. So which of them, some of them say it may only the passive, the active ones, not the passive malachas, but you have to look, because the Torah has more than 39, there's 62 or something like that, the numbers are way more than 39. But either way, so the Gemara assumed that only certain, so the Rishonim are bothered by which ones are going to count, which ones aren't going to count, but for our purposes over here, we assume 39. So the Gemara now says, by Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef had a question though. When it comes to the work says by Yosef, it says that he's come to do his work. Does that count in the 39 or not? So the Gemara says, Abaye says, what do you mean does that count? Go bring a Torah scroll and bring and see if the Torah have it inside or not. Do we have 39 or not? If it has 40 and this is the 39th, then this would be the 40th, then it doesn't count. If there's 39 and this is the 39th, then it would count. They didn't move from there until they brought a Torah and they counted them. So why don't we just check it out? Meaning, in a different context, they had the same question and they asked this. Rashi says he doesn't know which context, where did they bring this question out? That they had a question about something. He suggests maybe it's the Gemara Kedushin about the Vavim in the middle. Okay, but either way, meaning when you have a question and what's in the Sefer Torah, go look. Go look at the Sefer Torah, how it's written, and you'll get your answer. So he says then, no, Amar Le, Rav Yosef said, I'll explain to you my suffix. The pasuk by the Mishkan, it says the work was enough, that they finished the work. So is that part of the count or not? Does that count as part of the 39? No. And then when it says that, so then what do you mean? It's going to be 40 then though. If you have the that he came lasus malachto, when it comes to Yosef coming with Eishes Potiphar to do his work, it says over there. So that would be the 40th one. So then it's going to be. No, that work didn't mean work itself. It was a euphemism that he was coming to his work. That's going to be like the man damar, the gemara and sota, the machlokas about this. One of them says that it meant that he was going to have relations with her. He finally agreed, he was going to agree. He's about to do it, and then he decided last second to do tshuva and run away. So when it says lasas malachto, it didn't literally mean work. So therefore, that's not counted. And then the one of malachat lasas dayam was my question. Dilma, or maybe when it says it, no, it literally means that he was going to do. It was going to do his work. It was going to actual work, and then she came to try to seduce him. So when the pasuk says the work was enough, that means that that they finished, that it was completed. And this doesn't mean that they had undertaken to take the donations, and then they finished it. It doesn't refer to actual work. That it's just referring to what they had accomplished, that they had finished it, and it was enough. So, and therefore, if you bring a Sefer Torah, I don't have a question. I know that there's 40 things that are mentioned in the time work, and I'm this Mesupak, which gets into the count of 39 or not. The Malacha Hasadayam, is that the 39th? Or is the second one about Yosef and the Ishis Potifar, is that the other one about, is that the one that counts work? So the Gemara says, Teiko, that's unresolved. We're not sure which 39, which of the word Malacha that came up in the Torah 39 times, according to this Mandar, but does it count? The Gemara now says, Tanina Mikamandamar Kinagadavosa Mishkan, a Braisa supports the one who holds that it's Dafka based on the works of the work that they did in the Mishkan is what creates these terms Shabbos. The time that Braisa tells us, one is only chayav for work or labor that they used to do in the Mishnah. For example, that they used to plant, so you're not allowed to plant. They would reap, and you're not allowed to reap. Okay? And they lifted from the Mishkan the boards from the ground, from the Rishus Rabim into the Rishus Yachid, and from the public domain onto the wagon, which is considered a private domain. That part of the Rashi points out, that part of the system, what they used to transport in the Mishkan, they used to be from place to place. There would be two pairs of wagons, and they were parked in the Rishus Rabim in front of the Mishkan, one behind the other. And the boards, which were the walls of the Mishkan, they were loaded onto the wagons. So the wagons, Rashi points out, they have to assume that they measured 4 tefachim and had a wall of 10 tefachim that we saw in the first part. That's a requirement to be considered Rishus Yachid. And then it was, and when they passed it from there, that's considered passing from Rishus Rabim to Rishus Yachid. Also, you guys, meaning you should don't bring from public to the private. They lowered the boards from the wagon to the ground. And also, you guys should not take things from the Rishus Yachid, from the private domain to the public domain. They transferred the boards from the wagons to the wagons. And so too, so too, you should not transfer things from private domain to the private domain. And we're asked, what do you mean? You can't transfer two things from Rishus Yachid. I go to my friend's house to my house. What's the problem? Rishus Yachid, Rishus Yachid, not covered. You're not. There's no issue with transferring from two private domains. So the Gemara says, I'm a bayav rav at the right time. No, what we meant to say is, from one private domain to another private domain by going through the Rishus Yachid in the public domain, that is going to be usher. And this is just as a different set. This is the told of Moshi, of handing over. That's what we're discussing over here. That would be this case. We'll get more into that when we get to that Gemara. But that's what the two different chilukim between going Rishus Rabim to Rishus Yachid, two Rishus Yachids, Derech Rishus Rabim. Okay. The Mishnah also said, Begizei Tzemer Ve'in Metaltalin, that when it comes to, you're allowed to insulate with the wool strings, we're not allowed to move them. The Gemara says, Amar Rava Loshana Ela Shalot Taman Ben. When they say you're not allowed to move them, when a person didn't insulate with them, where he did insulate them, he would be allowed to move them. So the Gemara says, there's a Talmud who was standing there in the Beis Midrash. It was his first day there, Rashi says. And he challenged, he had a kasha on the Shaila of Rava. He must have had a lot of guts to the first day to ask a big kasha in front of everyone. So we're going to see that Rava Pashas wasn't there, but still, he asked the kasha in front of everyone. The Mishnah tells us that one is allowed to insulate with the wool shearings and he's not allowed to move them. So what should he do in order to use the pot? No, tell us the kisoy venoflos. He removes the lids and then they fall. So we see though that after they're used for insulation, you've designated them for insulation, it's still usher to move them. So only indirectly it was okay. So why was it not, according to Rava, it shouldn't be mukta at all? So the Gemara fixes up Rava's statement, and he asked a good kasha. The Gemara says, Ela yitev, itmar hachi itmar. If you have to revise Rava, this is what Rava meant to say. Amar Rava loshanu ela shaloyachtan latmana. That this teaches us that the wool is not allowed to be moved except if one, Rashi says, la'olam, that he didn't permanently designate them for insulin. But if someone, la'olam, he permanently designated need it for insulating. This was his new object for insulating. Then it's allowed to be moved. According to this version of Rava, now Rava is agreeing that just using it one time for insulation would not be enough to consider to remove its status as mukta. So the Gemara wants to bring a proof for this. It's Marnami. It also says Kiyasa Rava Amar Biyachol Rasi Rishal Amar Rebbe. They say the name Rebbe now. Lo Shana L'Sheyach L'Atmana. That this halacha, when it regards to wool shearings, is that they didn't permanently designate it for insulating. Aval Yach L'Atmana Matatano. Since Rebbe seems to support this, if someone permanently designated them for insulating, they're allowed to be moved. It would no longer be considered mukta. So the Gemara says Ravina, Omer Ravina disagrees. He says that Rava's ruling is like it said originally, and there is a chilek between using it one time and not one time. So he was saying it's going to depend. Bishel heftek shanu. That when they taught the Mishnah that the wool shearings are not allowed to be moved even after being used for insulation, that was a reference to wool shearings of a warehouse. What's the difference? That the type of things that the merchants would use, that even if they remove them from the shell, they're destined to be returned in that situation, they would remain mukta. However, Rava's case was talking about ordinary shearings, so they're going to, according to that, it's not something that's designated as mukta, so therefore it's going to be allowed to be muta. Tanan Mehach, we have a Braisa supporting this answer as well. Gizei Semer Shel Heftek Imatal Tanosa, when it comes to the wool shearings of a warehouse, a person is not allowed to move them. But if a person had prepared them to use them, they would be mutter, so this answer also works within a Tanaim as well. Okay, we'll pick up from here tomorrow. Amir Tzah Hashem.